Well, as we continue our study through the book of 2 Chronicles, we're in the 17th chapter tonight. Asa has just passed away. His son Jehoshaphat now steps on the scene. And, this is a good guy. Father, as we look at your word tonight, we just ask your blessing on it. We just ask you to direct our thoughts and our steps as we read through your word tonight. And just once again, Lord, just quicken the word to us and just anoint it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles 17, chapter verse 1. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. Remember, Israel's in the northern kingdom. He is the king of Judah. And they had wars in the past. And so he really saw a need to make sure that he was strong enough that the northern kingdom wouldn't be able to overtake him. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And remember that Asa, in the battles that he had actually captured some of the cities, some of the towns up in the northern area, actually part of Israel. He took those cities over. And now Jehoshaphat is putting garrisons there and using them as another layer of protection for the southern kingdom. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. So there's a real contrast here between Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel, who is Ahab at this time. Ahab is married to a woman we all know, Jezebel. And actually, Jehoshaphat marries their daughter. Okay, so he's got a real allegiance here. And we're going to get into that. So, you know, there's sometimes when we wind up with an allegiance with an unbeliever and you say, well, you know, is that right? Is that wrong? Is, you know, something I should avoid, something that will get me into trouble? And we'll see here. There's a lot of insight here. But you notice that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of David. In fact, it mentions there in verse 3 that he walked in the former ways of his father David, in the ways that David walked when he was a young man. Okay, where David had this wonderful heart after God and really pursued God. That's what God saw in Jehoshaphat. Therefore, because of that, because he's seeking the Lord, he's walking in the commandments, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. What a great statement. I mean, if you'd want something said about you, wouldn't that just be what you'd want etched on your tombstone? I mean, come on. That his heart or her heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. It wasn't something that was all external for him. It was internal. Remember, one of the things we learned about one of the previous kings is he never set his heart to seek the Lord. He never prepared his heart to seek the Lord. The opposite is true of Jehoshaphat. Here's a guy who was seeking after the Lord. And he took, in his heart, he took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. Also, in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levite, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, and Asahel, Shemarimoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, Tobadonijah, the Levites, and with them Elishama and Joram, the priests. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Okay, you know something incredible is going to happen in a nation when they start having Bible studies, because that's what was going on here. Okay, the king brought all these people together, all these leaders and Levites who were the teachers, priests who, of course, were the go-betweens between man and God, and they had the law of the Lord with them. They had the Old Testament. They had the first 5 books of the Bible with them, and they went out to teach the law, to teach the word of God. Man, that's so king, this Bible study king here. And here's the result. Verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became increasingly powerful, and he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. And if you want a classic example of seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, you get it right here. Here's a guy who has just set his heart to seek the Lord, and God just starts blessing him. God just starts causing people, even though he didn't go to the land of the Philistines and conquer them, they started sending him tribute. Okay? Because they saw how mighty he was, they knew that he could take over their land, and so the fear of the Lord was upon them, and they're saying, why don't we just send some tax money over there to the king, and that way, you know, he'll be happy with us, and he won't attack us. And so all of a sudden you got people, and you got the Arabians. I mean, golly, that's a long ways away, and they're sending flocks and male goats and saying, here, you know, just, these are some of our gifts. So much that he had to build storage cities in Judah. He had so much stuff coming in that he had to build these areas that would be able to house it. He had much property, verse 13 tells us, in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. These are the numbers, their numbers, according to their fathers' houses. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna, the captain, with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amaziah, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself to the Lord. Here's another good phrase. And with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And I want to just stop there. I want to go back to verse 16 for one more second, because I want you to notice that next to him was Amaziah. And what was said about Amaziah? Yeah, he was the son of Zichri. But Amaziah willingly offered himself to the Lord. Notated just there. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, everybody knows this guy because of his reputation. Here was someone who willingly offered themselves to the Lord. Someone who said, all the days of my life, I'm going to belong to him. And whatever I do, I'm going to do for him. And it's not because I have to. It is because I want to. Don't you love that? He willingly offered himself to the Lord. Verse 17 goes on to say, so we had the people of Judah. We've had 780,000 soldiers from Judah. Now we get to Benjamin, verse 17. Of Benjamin, Eliada, the mighty man of valor, and with him 200,000 men armed with bow and shield. And next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war. So we have another 380,000 from Benjamin. These served the king besides those the king put in the fortified cities throughout all Judah. So this is just the standing army, okay? We've got, 780,000 of Judah, 380,000 of Benjamin, in addition to the people that were actually posted at the fortress cities. This is just the movable army, the army that's ready to go. Chapter 18. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Ahab, at this time, is the king of Israel, northern kingdom. And there are actually a few things that caused him to be united with him. The first one, of course, was that he married their daughter. The second one was that they were in some business ventures together. They were sending out ships to foreign lands and bringing back all kinds of treasure. And then the third alliance was a military alliance, which we'll see here in just a second. And verse 2 tells us that after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And the Ramoth-Gilead, the area that was actually was the was an area that at one time was under control, the control of Israel, and they had paid tribute and were servants, and they had rebelled, and so Ahab needed to bring them back into submission. So, you know, the army that Jehoshaphat had was much greater than the army that he had. So he said, well, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And I love that last word, today. Okay, I don't want to go on the word of the Lord that came to us last month or last year or in the last decade or under the last king. I want the word of the Lord that is for us today. If we're going to go and take on these people, then I need to know what the will of God is. I need a word from the Lord. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men. Okay, 400 men. 400 men. 400 men. This sounds really familiar. The prophets, and notice that it doesn't say the prophets of the Lord, because these were the 400 prophets of Baal that Jezebel had, that Elijah ended up killing on top of Mount Carmel when the Lord answered by fire. Okay? So none of these prophets are prophets of the Lord. These are the prophets of Baal. Because remember what the northern kingdom did? They set up the golden calves. They kicked all the priests out. They kicked all the Levites out. And whoever had enough money to buy their way to the priesthood became part of the priesthood. Well, these 400 guys were the prophets of the god Baal. So, he gathers them together and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Wow, how easy is that? But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Okay, he recognized what was going on. He's looking at these guys saying, none of these are prophets of God. Okay, these are prophets of Baal. These are Jezebel's right-hand guys. And he said, you know, before we go, can I just, in Israel, is there still maybe one prophet who's belongs to my God? I mean, we heard the 400 from your God, but I'd really like to know from my God. And so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. I love that. I hate this guy. Yeah, there is a prophet, but I hate his guts because he never has anything nice to say to me. He's never patting me on the back for following after Baal. He's never, you know, giving me credit for the raunchy things that I do. I can't stand this guy. But okay, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll find him. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Okay. Oh, yeah, don't even talk that way. Don't say you hate him. He's a prophet of the Lord. And you know, yeah, I know he's rebuked you in the past, but you know, don't say anything. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne. And they sat at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself. And he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians till they are destroyed. Okay, so he makes this guy, Zedekiah, makes these horns of iron. He said, you're going to take these to battle with you because with these horns, you are going to gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Okay, so he goes and he gets his prophet of the Lord, and as he's taking him to the king, he said to him, you know, it's really important that you speak nice now. You know, all these other prophets are speaking, and all the other prophets are in fact telling the king that this is God's will and this is God's plan, and you just need to kind of go along with this. It'd be really nice if you'd speak encouragement, because you know it seems like you're always speaking negative to the king, and this would be really nice if you just speak words of encouragement. And Micaiah said in verse 13, "As the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak." Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And he said, "Go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand." The king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" I don't know what set the king off. Probably the tone that the guy used, okay? Probably the tone when he said, "Oh, just go and prosper." And he may have used the tone all the other prophets were using, the certain, you know, tone in their voice. "Oh, go and prosper, and you'll just, everything will be great for you." And the king looks at him, and he says to him, you know, what is wrong? So did we lose, if we hit F5, that should bring it back up? Okay. So the king said, you know, "How many times shall I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" Verse 16. Then he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his house in peace.'" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" Didn't I tell you that all this guy ever speaks is evil? And now what did he see? He said, "I saw all the people of Israel like sheep that have no shepherd." In other words, you're not going to be around. You're the shepherd, and you're going to be gone. And so the king of Israel says, "Didn't I tell you that this guy would never speak anything positive to me? He'd never speak anything good to me. He only speaks negative." And now Micaiah, just so you know, tells a parable here. This didn't really happen, okay? This isn't the way God works. This is a parable. Verse 18. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' So one spoke in this manner, another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will persuade him.' The Lord said to him, 'In what way?' So he said, 'I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And the Lord said, 'You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours.'" Not prophets of the Lord, but prophets of yours. "And the Lord has declared disaster against you." Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenani, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, "Which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you?" In other words, I'm the guy who has the word of the Lord. The guy was a false prophet. He's a prophet of Baal. God isn't speaking to him. He's never heard a word from the Lord in his entire life. Okay? And he's saying, "Well, at what point did the Spirit of God depart from me and go to you?" And Micaiah said in verse 24, "Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide." Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, 'Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with the bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace.' But Micaiah said, 'If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Take heed, all you people.'" Man, this was a heated discussion going on here, okay? Just in case you think everybody kind of got along then. No way. I mean, when the king's, you know, "Throw this guy in prison, give him bread and water, don't give him anything else to eat, and when I come back, I'll take care of him." He turns around, he says, "Yeah, if you come back, then I'm a liar, okay? Then I haven't heard from God." Wow. Okay. Verse 28. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And I love this verse 29. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes." Oh, there's a real smart thing, right? Okay, so everyone knows that you're the king and everyone's going to be after you. I'm just going to kind of be in some plain clothes, so I'm going to disguise myself. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. In other words, your duty, your job, is to take your chariots and as quickly as you can, not to fight with anyone else, but to attack the king of Israel. Your job is to kill the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel, because he's the only one out there wearing royal robes. Therefore, they surrounded him to attack, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was, when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died. Okay? So Micaiah said, you know what? God is sending you to Ramoth-Gilead because you're going to die there. And although he didn't dress up as a king, nobody knew he was the king, there was some guy that took his arrow, put it in his bow, and just took a random shot. And that random shot hit at the only place in the armor that had an opening, and it pierced through that opening. And he was propped up in the chariot until he died. Then Jehoshaphat, verse 1 of chapter 19, then Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of God is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. Now, here comes Jehu, and Jehu really wasn't a prophet this time. He was simply known as the son of a prophet. And he goes out and he meets Jehoshaphat, and he said, you know, Ahab hates God, and you know that he is wicked. How can you align yourself with such a person? And how can you join with them? And just so you understand, that the wrath of God is upon you. However, there's something that's holding back that wrath. And what's holding back that wrath is the fact that you have done good things. You've removed the wooden images, and most importantly, God sees your heart. And you have prepared your heart to seek God. Now this, I want to take you back for just a second to Jehoshaphat's dad, Asa. When Asa was rebuked for something he had done, and he didn't receive that rebuke. What you'll notice about Jehoshaphat is Jehoshaphat received the rebuke. He learned from it. Verse 4, so Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Here he is. This is Jehoshaphat the evangelist. And because the king of Israel is dead, he goes all the way up into the mountains of Ephraim, and he brings those people back to the Lord. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take care and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. So he set up judges throughout all the cities of Judah. Every city had a court that you could appeal to, and these guys that were set up as judges were not just a bunch of political cronies. Okay? Jehoshaphat said, we are going to be a nation of righteousness, and we're going to be a nation that does what's right. And we're going to set up these judges and set up these individuals in all these cities so that anytime there's iniquity, that iniquity can be righted. And I am going to charge them. He charged them before the Lord and said, understand that you are not doing this for man. You're not doing it for me. You are doing it for the Lord. And God shows no partiality, and therefore you can show no partiality. God has no iniquity in him, so you can't have any iniquity in you, and God can't be bribed, so neither can you. Verse 8, moreover in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. Okay, so now there's a higher court. So if you're living in one of the cities of Judah and you have a problem and you go to that judge and you don't feel like you got justice, no problem. You can go into Jerusalem because there's another judgment there for controversies, for appeals. And these are not the lawyers of the day. But these are the Levites and the priests. Who did he put in as judges? People who knew the word. People who knew God's will. People who had memorized scripture. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandment against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord, and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. In other words, you need to make sure that when those appeals come and those situations they couldn't reconcile in the lower courts, when those appeals come to you, when those cases come to you, you need to make sure that you do what is right. And whether they're cases of criminal, whether they're criminal cases or whether they're civil cases or whether they're religious cases, okay, regardless of what it is, then you are to warn them and you are to tell them what is right and wrong. Okay? That's an important thing for these judges. They were going to tell them what's right and wrong. And if they will tell the truth all the time and, you know, not be partial because of someone they know, but they will do that, they will not be guilty before the Lord. They will execute their office fully and justly. And take notice, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord. And Zebadiah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. And the Lord will be with the good. Okay? So that's the admonition that Jehoshaphat gave those judges and said, now you understand that as you appeal these cases, that if there's ever something you can't figure out and it has to do with matters of the Lord, you have Amariah, the chief priest, who has the final say. He's the final appeal, and Zebadiah will handle all of the civil things, all of the criminal things, as well as the civil cases, all the king's matters. He will take care, and you just make sure that you behave courageously, and the Lord will be with you for good. And so you really see what Jehoshaphat recognized needed to happen in Israel, or in Judah, in the kingdom he was over, was that people needed to know the word of God, and there needed to be justice in every city. Okay? The people needed to know the word, what God required of them, and they needed to see with their own eyes that they were a land of justice. Not a land of iniquity, not a land of bribery, not some kind of country that if you had enough money you could get by with anything, but they needed to understand, we know the word, and we see the word in action. We see justice everywhere we look. Man, that's an amazing king. Father, we thank you tonight for this study and for these chapters that we've been able to go through tonight and the message of Jehoshaphat, one whose heart was loyal to you, one who had really set his heart to seek after you. Wasn't just somebody who was interested in being king. Wasn't somebody who was just interested in being seen as spiritual. But someone who from the heart served you and from the heart loved you. And we see in all of his actions, in all of his actions, he was an individual of righteousness. He was an individual who always did right. And God, we just thank you for that example, and thank you for this life that we've been able to look at tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.